Hi all. In this chapter, I sit down with Leila and we take a different, interesting perspective on music, on passion, on life. I hope you enjoy this interview. And if you want to see the video version, you can find it on my YouTube channel. So Leila, how are you really doing?
I'm good for the most part.
Yeah.
And some days I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed and stressed about the uncertainty and not being close to my family during these times. But I'm trying to get in the habit of taking every day as it comes so that I don't get, you know, swept up in emotions and get really caught up in my feelings.
Are you that type that lives more in the present, or you're always anxious about the future?
I mean, I do a lot of practices to become more aware and more conscious and more in my skin so that I can be more present. But I'm also an overthinker, and I feel like creative people tend to have like conceptualized things all the time. So, you know, I'm thinking about what I'm doing next and where I'm at. And in essence, you know, as a freelance artist, you're an entrepreneur. So you have to think about, like, you know, what you're going to work on next, where you're going to get your next gig, how, what moves you're going to make next, who you're going to align with, who you're going to affiliate with. And all of these things need thought, you know. It doesn't, whilst I believe in the magic of manifestation, I also don't believe that like things just fall into your lap. You have to kind of, you know, make things happen. But I'm trying to get better at being in the moment and present and not so, you know, in my head.
You think it's dangerous when a lot of books are telling us to be in the moment, in the present, and then people lose track of, let's say, not the far future, but the near future? Because, look, I hate the question, what is your five-year plan? I never know. And I'm like, I don't know, and
too.
I don't care. But what I would think might be helpful is a year plan. So in 2020, even that, look at how that ended up. But my point is, even a year, I'll be like, okay, a direction in the year. I know what I want to do this year, or what I, if I do, I'll be happy. Like I ask you, Leila, you'll be like, well, honest, if I do this album and I do this gig and I get this award, or I build a relationship that's stronger with my best friend, I'm happy this year. I think that's fine, rather than always thinking, no, just live now, now, don't think about tomorrow.
I agree with you. I think it's important to have some sort of an outlook, some sort of an idea. I think it's also important to be flexible, because you don't know what life throws your way in this situation, so that you don't get too disappointed, so that you don't get so caught up in achieving certain things, and know that sometimes God has a bigger plan for you. If something doesn't go the way you intended it to or as you planned, sometimes that's a blessing in disguise. And, you know, we've all been there before. I do agree with you. I think it's important to have some level of like direction in life. Otherwise, you can just coast and float. And, you know, whilst that's nice for people living in sort of remote areas where they're at one with nature and this idea and like the books that they write about like floating and being in the moment and all of that is great. But if you don't have an idea or a vision, let's not say like a step plan,
100%.
Then where are you going? You know what I mean?
That's why I use the word general direction. I don't want KPIs and these are my objectives that every day I measure. No, no.
That takes the joy out of life.
I know what I want. Exactly.
Yeah.
I know what I want generally. If it changes, it changes. While you were talking, I had a feeling. Do you sometimes think you're too smart for... I don't mean it in a snobby way. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But I don't, maybe even in your teenage years, even growing up, do you often find yourself like, wow, the people around me are really dumb? Or like I know too much and it's a curse.
Do I come across as someone, but just like...
Something you said in the first answer made me think, I feel she's been through these moments where she's like, I shouldn't read too much. Maybe I'm reading too much and I know too much and I can catch this person and I know what this person is up to. And it's bothering you that maybe your wavelength is not usually similar to people around you, and maybe it's disappointing sometimes.
Yeah.
Correct?
You're a very good reader. You know, I don't think that I'm better than anyone else ever. I like to one thing that I really like as a personal trait is someone who is humble and someone who is hungry for knowledge and information. So if you think you're already like amazing and so smart, then you don't have room for improvement, right? I do feel that like in certain situations, I've been more equipped than other people because of my exposure, because of my education, because of the things that I've seen and done and whatever. But I always try to come from a place of love and no judgment, because we grow up in societies and cultures that are so judgmental, and these ideals are ingrained in us from such a young age, and it's kind of like a defense mechanism. Oh, that person's like that, so that means that they're that, don't get close to that person. But actually, as you grow older, what you realize is that there is value in so many different types of people. While someone might not be extremely academic, they might be much more in tune spiritually or emotionally than someone who's very academic. So people have different, you know, powers or whatever you want to call them, different traits that you can find beauty in. It's just you have to be patient and look for those things.
Why did you smile?
Because I'm not that patient, and sometimes I find myself like catching myself becoming judgmental and then like trying to, this is something that I really try
what
to
I,
work
what
on.
What I always tell people, that I don't support when somebody says, I don't judge people. I tell them, we all do.
I agree.
We all are preconditioned, whether from movies, from culture,
human nature,
religion, we judge. But a wise person takes a step back and says, hold on, you don't know.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Ask them, talk to them.
Yeah.
I think that's where the maturity comes in, or wisdom.
Yeah. But what I don't excuse is bad behavior. So I'll try not to make the judgment. I'll give people chances. But then consistent bad behavior for me is kind of not acceptable.
It's showing you. How do you remember your childhood?
Manic.
Manic.
I mean, I was born in Belgium, and then we were quickly uprooted to move to Australia. And then from Australia, we moved to America, where my sister was born. And we lived in LA for a year, and then we lived in south of France, and then we moved back to, so it was like manic. And then at some point, my father brought us to Dubai, where we were very young. So there was a lot of moving around.
Why?
Well, the revolution happened in Iran, and
so mom and dad are from Iran?
Both, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But my father was studying in Switzerland when the revolution happened, so they stayed in Europe. But then, of course, after I was born, they were looking for a new home. And my dad is very, like, he loves nature, and there were good opportunities in Australia. The first round, the first time we went there, it didn't quite stick, the idea of staying there. So we went to the States like every other, we went to LA like every other Iranian. And he wasn't a big fan. So then we moved back to Australia. And I'm really happy, like Australia was a beautiful place to be raised in nature with a great system, lovely, happy, kind, warm people. So yeah, I mean, I have great memories, but it was also manic, you know, a lot of moving around.
You think it's unsettling for a child to be moving so much? Or is it an advantage?
You know, I think that there are positives in everything. And when I look at the exposure that it gave me and the tolerance it gave me from having learned so much about different cultures and people, it helped me develop different things. Definitely, I think routine and stability are important for young children because in that safety, in that security, they can maybe grow and develop. When there's uncertainty and like when they're not settled, then they become stressed and they carry on the parent stress and all of that. For me, there's no real black or white in life, you know. At the same time,
I look... It's shades of gray.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not as sadistic as that, but like...
I didn't even watch the movie, by the way. I haven't read the book or the movie, but
you know,
I say it
out
in Arabic and I just translated it. I really feel it's not black or white. It's literally this.
Yeah.
So, but it goes lighter all the way to anything in life. I don't like when somebody says, oh, this is just this. No.
No.
Not really.
And like, look at us, like how we're living today in today's society. We're all intermixed. We're not living in villages anymore where we're certain ways. You know, you have to be flexible. Mm. And like, obviously, my parents or the other Iranian diaspora community didn't opt to get thrown out of their countries and not return and look for another opportunity. So they had to be flexible. And yeah. that's just the way it is. And, you know, we have so many blessings that you can't really focus on like, oh, was that terrible? No, it was great. We got to see the world before we were even five.
Yeah, it's one way of looking at
it. I don't remember it, but...
Maybe the subconscious remembers
it. Yeah, maybe.
And how's the relationship with the parents?
My mother is like, she can do no wrong. She's always on my head. My mother is everything to me. She's really compromised a lot in her life for myself and my three sisters. So she's my queen. You know, it was difficult. I love my father also. He's a very eccentric character. He's very interesting. But my mother really did all the work.
Mothers are great, usually.
Mothers are great.
Yeah. But you said compromised. What does compromise mean?
I mean, compromise. Well, when you're dealing with certain characters, being away from family, raising, my father was always traveling, raising children on your own.
How many are
in
you?
We're four girls. Hmm. In a foreign country, I was quite rebellious and, you know.
That would suit you, yeah. Okay.
I'm a much better child now. Okay. I'm much more obedient, but yeah. It wasn't a walk in the park. And like, when I think about it, I mean, how much like effort and energy it takes to raise four young women and hope that they carry some of their values. Cultural values and traditions in a very free country. I mean, it's stressful. And, you know, as much as my parents are very open-minded and Western, they're still in a household that were very strict values, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like our neighbors, like the kids were drinking with the parents at the age of 13, 14, you know what I mean? So you got to keep a tight leash. And when you're one, it's much harder.
Hmm.
So...
Interesting. So you'd say your childhood was a positive one generally?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You feel it played a big role in Layla today?
I mean, of course, everybody's childhood does. But I think when I really became myself, and it's very sad to say, was when I moved away from my family. Hmm. And I kind of like took on the world by myself. Because then you don't have this constant like... influence. And I was much older, so I had already the foundations of who I was. But this freedom to explore different parts of your character without being under scrutiny or watched or judged, you know, that kind of only happened for me a bit later on when I traveled by myself.
It's very empowering to leave the nest, you know, and I think I'm the only one who studied abroad. And I wish my brothers did too. They all studied here in typical universities. Everything is comfortable. Everything is there. You have the security of the family. Somebody does your laundry. Somebody can drop you off.
You're not challenged.
Yeah, you're not. Not life challenged. Education, I think education here can be better than America. Adi, no problem. But it's the life experience of being...
Where did you go?
I went to Boston. So I relate to what you just said. It's not we're attacking our parents. It's just... You need to leave the nest to find your way. Otherwise, you're just a copy-paste of probably what they teach you.
I mean, you're the eldest as well, right? Like, it's also like this thing of like growing up in a culture where it's like, you're the eldest, take responsibility. Look after your brothers, look after your sisters. And then this expectation of you to be the Layla that they knew, where sometimes you want to evolve, right? You want to change. Mm. And that's why I travel alone a lot, because... When you are with people that know you for who you are, you kind of are forced to be that person all the time.
Interesting.
And there are so many different, like, basically, in my opinion, if you're not evolving, if you're not changing, you're dead, right? So this idea of being the same you because people want consistency from you is, in my opinion, not for our pruning.
It's selfish of them.
It's selfish of them, yeah.
Because it's their comfort zone. And there is a quote I always repeat, that people will tell you you've changed when you stop living the way they want you to live. So they'll come and tell you, like, Leila, you've changed. You're like, I hope so.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I hope for the better.
Yeah.
Hmm. And how did you end up moving to Dubai? How did this move happen?
Well, my father was here, and I've been coming here on and off since, you know.
So your father lives here.
He's no longer here, but he was here. I have my extended family here. I have my cousins, my uncle.
And mom?
Mother and my sisters are in Australia.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're all Australian.
The goddess,
citizens.
The queen is not next to you.
No, but she's in my heart. And, you know, every day we message and, you know. And my mom's super chill. Like, she's cool. And she's not that kind of typical Iranian mother who's, like, calling me every 5 minutes. She's like, do your thing, live your life, be you. You know, she's very supportive.
There is a saying. I don't know if it's in do you understand Persian?
Of course.
Duri dusti. Does that
a friend
translate?
From far?
I'm not great at Farsi.
Okay.
But I was told this a lot, and it means dear as long as you're far. Something like
that. Yeah.
So my mother always says that, and she likes saying it. The point is, you mentioned that your mom is away. It doesn't determine the quality of a relationship if you're close or far. I mean, even if she's far, you can still have a very rich.
Yeah, because we have the foundation. Like, I mean, I was, you know, with them until my mid-20s. And the thing is, like, we are such a close-knit family. We share everything. And I travel a lot with my family. So, like, even if I'm not there, or when I make the time to go there, I'll go and spend a month in Australia, and I make no plans with anyone else. It's like morning, breakfast, lunch, and dinner together, walks, like family time, whatever. So I try to make up for the fact that I'm
with
not
quality.
There. Yeah.
And you jumped into music coming from an Iranian family, or an Asian or Arab is always tricky, I would say. I don't know about your specific family. I know in general, it's not easy to jump into that sector.
Yeah.
How did you jump to that?
Yeah, it was tough.
I'm sure.
I was...
And you're the eldest?
I'm the eldest, yeah.
Okay. And I'll tell you why I asked that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't want to set a bad example for the siblings, right? When you do
that's
the
one
thing that's against the family.
I'll tell you in my perspective, and I don't know if it applies to you and to others. When you're the eldest, you don't know better. And what I mean by that is my passion was football. I wanted to be a footballer.
Yeah.
But my father wasn't into sports. So he could not guide me or take me on that path and say, I'll drive you to practice. Or, you know, the typical stories of footballers where the dad will.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that option.
Yeah.
I didn't have an elder brother who'd be like, ignore, just do what you want.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have that person that's above you, that's kind of like a mentor or telling you, Leila, go sing. I'll drop you there. Nobody should know. So you have to do it on your own, which takes more effort. You have to muster more courage.
Yeah, totally.
The second child or the third, you can be that for them. Like, how do you want? I'll register you for the
game. Yeah.
So that's my point.
And you're right. I think...
And we start late, usually.
Yeah, and that's the other problem, is because you want... For so many years, you're too, like... You don't have the courage to go up against your parents and be like, no... I really want to do this because, like, God forbid that me, the eldest daughter of my father, wants to entertain people. Like, wow, that is so below you. And I raised you to be educated and smart and an elegant young lady. And how are you going to go on stage? Like, this is the mentality. And look, my father is highly educated. He's very Western. He's very European in certain things. He's very open-minded. But, like, no daughter of mine is going to be an entertainer for other people's pleasure. Like, obviously, that comes from a place of love, but it's also very regressive, you know?
Although I would say in Iran, back in the day, they were really, really big into arts and music. It was a normal thing. You know, you had legends singing and you had big parties. And
they still are. But as singers, it's like, it's a certain background that goes into singing. This is, I'm talking like, this is back, you know, sort of older mentality. It's traditional.
Yeah.
That like, and the same in Arabic
culture. Yeah, they look down on athletes and singers, I would say, and actors.
Yeah.
Aren't low class.
Yeah, exactly.
No, like, why does it have to be low class?
In fact, the way I see it, and I think that there's a way to do everything, obviously, like, you know, I've, without, you know, being judgmental, from my father's perspective, if I was very, like, and I like to be as modest as possible, not because of my father or anything else, but, like, I just feel like I'd rather let different assets shine rather than, like, physical attributes, you know what I mean? So I get it. It comes from a place of love, but like, of course, he wasn't okay with it. And they weren't supportive. And so because of that, I started a lot later because I was like, no, I'm not going to go up against my parents, against the social like network that they have, against community in general, this idea of like, if you do this, no one's going to marry you and like no man wants to be with a singer, which I even endure like this even today. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it was tough. And like to have the guts to go up against everyone and be like, you know what, I'm going to do this. No one was for it. No one. Mm. But what I came to the conclusion of was that I wanted to live a life of authenticity. And if that disrupted other people's ideology, that wasn't going to make me sleep worse at night. Of course, I tried to do everything with a certain level of respect and dignity so that I wasn't constantly at loggerheads. And it wasn't like it was like, we disown you, we don't want to speak to you anymore, my family, but they really didn't believe in what I was doing. And to a certain extent, they still don't, as in my father and the extended family. But I feel happy. And because I'm happy, I'm a better daughter, niece, sister to my family. And for me, that's already a win.
Does it hurt you, though? That because a lot of people say, it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't affect me. I would agree that if you're really well composed in your mentality, you wouldn't let outsider fans, basic friends, basic colleagues affect your direction. But I always think people that are really close to us, especially parents, because we're biologically even, you know, just connected to them, they say, this dress is ugly. It sticks in your mind. Whether you ignore your mother saying that or not, when you're in the party wearing that dress, you will think, my mother said, it will just stick there, I think.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt you that till today your father still cannot go 100% with you on this career choice?
Not really. The reason being is because while I respect him and I understand where he's coming from, if I live a life for him and only for him, and I already am very like committed to my family, it's not like I've completely like detached myself from them, then I won't really be the daughter that he raised. You know what I mean? He raised me always to challenge the status quo. He raised me always to be stronger than the rest. He raised me to question everything. He raised me to go up against like people that I didn't have the guts to go up against and do what I wanted to do. So if I didn't do this, then I'm not his daughter, you know? And also, like, I think that it's important. I'm not saying that I'm the person that's going to pave the way, but each female artist that does this, you don't know what it's like to be a young woman who has so much song and poetry in her and feels like that culturally it's unacceptable and that she's going to be shunned and she's going to be disrespected. Like, what is this ideology that we're putting in the minds of our young girls? It's so backwards. The very fact that you were saying in my culture, like, philosophy, culture, and arts and music and everything was very much a part of our culture. And today it's, you know, it's illegal for a woman to perform live. And I think that music is a beautiful universal language. I think it's a beautiful way to communicate across cultures. I think that it's necessary for society to have all mediums of art, but in particular music. It's a beautiful way to tell stories, for us to recollect certain generations and eras and things like that. Why strip that? That's the very way we communicate with God, is through prayer and, I don't want to call it music, but melody. And that's how we learn how to speak.
Mm.
It's like a fundamental of like a requirement of people. Why take that away from us? Because it's not acceptable.
I'm huge on music.
Yeah.
And I think one of the best indicators of what you just said is if you put a nice beat and a baby's there, he's gonna or she's gonna start dancing. Naturally, you didn't teach the baby to dance or to move, and suddenly it does and it feels good. So for me, that's enough evidence that music is a beautiful thing. It can make you feel better. It can make you feel sad. You watch a movie and it's a sad scene with the right music and you're gone, like you're crying, and suddenly you're elated. And I think that's so powerful. Okay, so you went to corporate though.
Yeah.
You did work.
Yeah.
So again, we come back to the point, you had a switch.
Yeah.
When was enough?
I mean, it's kind of like heavy. I mean, I was very depressed. It got to the point where I was like, because I'm hungry for life, you know, I didn't want to just have the convention and be like, okay, yeah, tick the boxes and that's enough for me. Already I wasn't happy with certain like events that had happened in my life, and I got to the point where I was like clinically depressed, to the point where I went for a brain scan and the doctor was like, yeah, you got to go on like some antidepressants and whatever. And I was like, I don't think so. I really don't think that that's what I need. And she was like, no, you have to. But I knew that in my heart, it was just a matter of like breaking free from the chains of like convention that wasn't good for me. I'm not saying that that's the case for everyone, you know, but for me, it was like really hurting me and it was hurting my soul. So I got to the point where like I consulted with my family and people that were like in the know, and everyone was like, yeah, you should go on the antidepressants, not a big deal, you go on them. And then I was like, okay, finally, after some very careful consideration and study, I said, okay, fine, I'll explore that option. And I went to a pharmacy on Sheikh Zayed Road, I remember clearly which one, and I had the prescription and I asked for the medication and they were out of stock. And then I went somewhere else and they were out of stock.
Interesting.
And then I went somewhere else and I was out of stock. I said, thank you, God, for like giving me the answer that I really like need. This is a sign, if any, right? So then I said to myself, look, it's not like I had no singing training. I had no like idea of how I was going to approach this. All I knew was that I need to take some time out to recenter and recalibrate and like just reconnect with the world and have some stories to tell. And so I made a plan of like 6 months of working hardcore and also performing at the same time. Like I just put a band together. I was like, okay, now I'm a singer, I'm gonna sing. And I started doing like live performances. And you know, we're talking like 5 years ago. And then I just packed everything up and I set out on a journey of like a year of traveling the world.
Wow.
Yeah, so I went to like different parts of the world and I saw different things and I learned to language and I connected with nature and people.
Alone?
And some of it I was with
friends
and some of it I was with family, but a lot of it I was alone. I went and learned, trained Muay Thai in Thailand, and then I went to Seychelles, and then I went to Paris, and I like went to museums every day, and I was just feeling
You're hungry.
I was hungry. Like I needed to see, you know, I was like living such the rat race for so long, and like with heaviness of like family stuff and life, and that it just caught up with me. And I was like, I'm not going to let this, whatever my brain imbalance, like take over me and me to make medicine my food. You know, I want my food to be life and like learning and whatever. So I learned a lot. I met a lot of amazing people. I connected with life. I fell in love. I fell out of love. I grew. I shrank at times. And then I was like, okay, I've had enough of this. Like now I'm going to go back to Dubai and I'm going to set up like a situation where I can start to explore my music. And I started to write and connect with songwriters and producers from Sweden, and we wrote songs together, and then I did a video, and like before I knew it, I had released a song. And I was still working with my family at that time. And I remember it was like, okay, I really like this and I feel good and I don't need no drugs and my drug is music. And so like, I'm gonna do this. And I didn't care like at what cost, if I had to downsize my life, if I had to downgrade everything, sell whatever I had to make the production happen, because no one was gonna support me in that. And I did it and I busted my butt and like worked so hard. And yeah, it was tough, but like, and it's a never ending journey, you know what I mean? It's not like I've achieved anything that like I can say like, wow, I've, you know, I'm still on that journey. But like, had I not taken that step, I might have still been miserable.
I have a few points. So one thing you said was to reach that level of depression, certain things happened in your life.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate? Well, no, you don't have to give me all of them. Give me what you want to give.
Well, like I was supposed to have moved to London in 2008 to like, you know, I love Europe. I wanted to be there and whatever. And then I got stuck here because my father had some stuff going on, and then he had some like health issues. So I stayed for that. And then just like stuff happens in life, and when you're like young, anything bad that happens, like you take so heavy, and you're like, but this is not where I planned to be, and this is not what I wanted from my life, and this is not who I wanted to be. Why am I here? You know. And then the next thing is like, okay, you got to get married, but I didn't want to get married. Why? Like, who am I going to marry just for the sake of getting married? I don't want to just marry this random guy just because he's got a status and money or whatever. Like, I need to be madly in love with him. I need to feel like I can grow and reach my fullest potential. Like, what kind of a life is this? I was not okay with it.
So you were arranged?
No, I wasn't. But it was like suggested on numerous occasions.
The peer pressure of that.
Yeah, and not just family, but like the people around, like, now you should get married. But I'm like, I'm not even a whole person myself. I just want me to become dependent on someone else. Like, I'm not even who I want to be. So I could maybe get into that situation and I'll find that I'll have everything that, you know, people think that it is what they want from a life where you have a partner who, you know, can provide and everything. But if you're not who you want to be, then you'll end up growing resentful and miserable, right?
Yeah.
And then how are you going to rear children and pass on that resentment towards
to
them?
You think you intimidate men?
No.
You sure?
Well, I'm not a walk in the park, let's just be honest. I don't know, I think the right man would never be intimidated by a strong woman.
Yeah, the strong, self-assured, at peace man, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So,
which are not many of them.
Yeah, but I know a few, and you know, I've like had the pleasure of knowing, you know, whether as friends or partners, and you know, the thing about me is like I might come across as like bullish and like, yeah, I'm gonna do my thing my way, you know, but like, you know, I'm also like soft, and when the right person comes along, I become vulnerable and I become fragile, and I like trust him. Obviously it takes a while to get there. I'm not like just, you know, oh yeah, hey, what's up, like he's my heart on a silver platter. It takes me time to get there, but when I do, you know, I'm not going to strip that man of his like essence of being a man, which is like a protector and a nurturer. Like, as much as I'm a feminist, I'm also not about taking away a man's power. And I appreciate men that are like carers and nurturers and you know, sort of guardian. I like that, you know. Why wouldn't I like someone who's strong and maybe even stronger than me, you know, someone I can look up to and learn from. Why would I want someone that I would like crush?
How is, you'll be turned off so quickly.
Yeah.
If you can crush him. How has love treated you so far in your life?
I think love treats you the way you perceive it, right? So I've had a lot of growing to do. I've had some trust issues in the past. And so generally, like, I could say, like, in more recent times, I've had very lovely interactions. And some more challenging ones, because there's obviously like junk and shit I need to like figure out and like work out, and that's life, you know. I think that obviously there are things that are going to be more challenging for me because I travel a lot, I work a lot, I'm not free to go to dinners or like movies because I'm working.
No, the person has to get it or be in a similar lifestyle to understand.
Yeah, and it's tough. And like Middle Eastern men in general, they're like, so when are you going to give up your hobby?
Oh, mashallah, great. But there's a point on that I don't want to miss. You chose music in a country that's extremely amateur in music.
Yeah.
Still, yeah. Inshallah, with the opera house and all of these things were starting to evolve, but even more so maybe in the English sector, an Arab or an Iranian or an Asian singing English is already a challenge.
Yeah, of course.
You're not in America,
yeah,
or in Europe. So you made a big career choice to something that is still not flourishing. One, you have a small country, don't have volume.
Yeah.
So even if you have a hit record, it's what, for a few million. So unless it goes, you know, viral, which is still not easy. Competition is very high outside, especially if you're not there competing directly.
Of course.
So you're choosing something in a very amateur market, which is risky, but I understand that it gave you so much peace and it was you. So you were like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going for this. This is what I want. This is me. However, I'll tell you my perspective and I'd love to hear your view. I am invited to a lot of events and I see you a lot, right? Oh, Layla. Oh, Layla again. Oh, Layla again. And I'm sure a lot of people are like,
Come on,
Layla. Is there no other singer to hire or to get, right? And I'll tell you things in this interview that I'm sure people think.
Yeah, of course, actually, it's true. I think that. Even I asked the client, I'm like, trust me, you need a different singer. I can't do the same event for the fifth time in a row.
But I'll tell you what my point is. Aren't you afraid that you will start to be categorized as a cover singer? Not a karaoke singer, that's the joke.
Yeah.
I mean a cover singer. You sing this hit, sing that hit. Oh, Habibti, yalla, sing this, I don't know, yeah, song. And suddenly you're not the artist that you want to express yourself, yeah, as. And so it's a very tricky balance because people like you doing covers. It's like YouTube. YouTubers are really good at covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they release their own song, nobody wants to listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you doing it just to pay bills?
Yeah.
Okay. And
cause that's straight answer. Yeah. Like, and many people might criticize it, but like, unless you're here in a market, like you said, that's very challenging as it is. And I'm like super grateful. If I had waited until it was the right light, I'm not at the juncture of my life where I'm going to go sleep on couches and like, you know, be a starving artist. Like, there's no way I can do that. Somewhere in me, there's still a little princess that's not about to go to LA and like, you know, struggle like that. This is where I'm living. This is my home. And I love Dubai. I've been here a long time, right?
Yeah.
And when I wanted to release, I thought to myself, yeah, I could go to LA or London. Like, it's not that I can't go, but like, who am I speaking to there? Like, here I have people that actually care and about my success and want to help me and want to help me grow. And I'm very grateful to, you know, everyone in Dubai that like sort of supported me, even from the cover performances, because that was my stage and my school, you know, like,
do this. Are you okay?
That was my stage and my school. Like, I learned how to perform with a band. I learned how to engage with an audience. Like, other artists out here might be like, yeah, but she sings covers. I'm like, yeah, can you get on a stage and sing for 2-3 hours with a band?
It's not easy.
And like improvise and like engage
read
with your
crowd.
Audience and read the crowd. And that, if you want to be good at your,
it's like stand-up comedians. They tell you, go to small bars, pitch, exercise your jokes, learn what's good, what works, what doesn't. If you don't do that, the greatest stand-up comedians always do that.
Yes.
They'll do these small events that nobody knows about.
Yeah. But so, like, not even, I think here everybody's got like a bit of a superiority complex. You know, they're like, oh, they're working a 9-to-5, but they want to be an artist at the same time, which I respect too. Like, we all got to work and pay our bills, right? So. But if I'm doing something that's complementary and I'm learning from it, I find much more value in that. I don't care what other people say. Like, for me, learning how to perform with a band and being on stage and getting the hours and getting the hours and getting the hours is much more valuable than just to, because out of ego to say, like, I only sing my own songs. Amy Winehouse, Prince, all of these guys, that's how they started. Mm. Amy Winehouse was singing Pizza Express, for goodness sakes, in like London. You know what I mean? That you can't think you're above anything. And this is the problem that we have as Middle Eastern.
Yeah, I respect that.
Culture is like, she does covers, so what? Like, are you paying my bills?
I was just going to literally say
Do you know what
that.
I mean? Like, yeah. Mommy and Daddy are not paying my bills. And if they're paying your bills and you want to be judgmental, that's on your account. But if people don't know what it takes, the courage that it takes to get up on stage and perform. And a couple of times, some people in the industry have said, like, a couple of my peers, for example, that are amazing singers, that are amazing talents. And then they'll release a song and everyone's like, yeah, but he's a cover singer. Yeah, but how do you want him to pay his bills? He's a real musician.
It's so easy for you to just throw that.
And who are you anyway? Do you know how to get up on stage and perform to an audience? Do you know what it takes to be in a bad mood and have to put on a smile and do that 5 nights in a row? Because you care so much about your art that you're not going to give up, that you're going to... And here, thankfully, there's gigs all the time. So musicians make a decent living. If that means I have to have fun on stage singing a couple of other people's songs who I love, like jazz and soul and whatever, I'm going to do
so
it.
So be it.
Yeah.
Do you think, Leila... I think I know the answer, but I want to put it out there. Both being the eldest mm-hmm. from families, both starting late and breaking off the corporate cage. I'll call it a cage because for me it's a cage.
Yeah, it's
for
a
some
cage.
People it suits them. It's a nice cage. Mm-hmm. Not for me. But to break out of the corporate system, what you call the rat race, but late. Did you get that feeling of... It's not FOMO or YOLO and all of these abbreviations, but similar, like your fear of missing out. Like, I'm already late. I need to quickly make up for lost time. That's why I'm hungry.
I think I would have been hungry in any situation.
Even if you started at 18?
Yeah.
Really?
That's just my personality is like that. Hmm. But maybe less so. Maybe less
I
so.
Think for me, definitely. I definitely have that feeling. Like, I'm obsessive in a way. I'm crazy at my passion. I will practice. I will learn. I want to be the best in a certain category just because, I don't know, I'm hungry. I mean, that's the word I like to use, and you use it a lot. Hungry for life. I want to achieve, and I don't know how much time we have. But I feel you're that type. Like, that's what you said. I don't care if I'm doing 10 covers and 3 gigs and... I have to live, I have to do well so I can, you know, support my musical career. I'll do what it takes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what people think. Other people will succumb to the pressures of a society.
Yeah, but where are they?
What do you mean?
Where are those people?
Yeah, they're nothing.
They're sitting in their like cocoons and like sitting there in their cocoons passing judgment. Like, get off your ass. If you want to judge other people, move your ass.
So people who are moving their ass don't have time to
they
judge
They don't.
Others.
And yeah. That's the whole point. It's like, if you're busy doing your own thing, you don't care about what anyone else is doing. And in fact, you will applaud them because they're doing something, right? Mm. But like you said, I think that maybe if you get a head start, you don't have this like deep need to like... And look, I'm not saying it because for me... If I don't like break the big charts or whatever, I don't care.
You're still doing you.
I'm doing me. Yeah. I'm doing me on my terms. I don't have to answer to anyone. Like, with all due respect to my parents, like, I'm sorry. I love you guys. I do tell you where I am. But like,
you own your time.
I don't have a label breathing down my back. So. I pay my own bills. I don't have investments. Like, I don't have to worry about paying people back because I don't want to. You know, take someone's money and under deliver.
Do you have a best friend?
I have my best friends and my sisters, but I also have a network. Yeah,
they can count.
But I have a network of amazing women around me.
Who edges it all? Who knows everything about Layla?
Yeah, there is one person.
Okay. Him or her. If we ask this person,
yeah,
what are three things you would, if we call them now,
yeah,
okay, and we put them on the line, and I tell him or her, describe Layla in three words. What do you think their answer would be?
Passionate.
Mm-hmm. It's not your answer, it's their answer.
I know, that's why I'm trying to see it from their perspective, because my answers. Passionate. Like, I'm trying to find the right way to phrase this, like a perfectionist, but to the point that it's a fault.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very hard on myself.
Yeah.
I'm very hard on myself. Okay. Yeah. And it's painful for the people around you because you're like, right? Right, guys?
Yeah. Revising a video like 72 times.
Yeah. Because you care, I'm that guy. Right? And you're Leo too, so that's the other
point. We're both Leos?
Mm-hmm. I'm the 4th of August.
3rd.
Yeah, that's right.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's the only Leo we got so far.
Yeah.
Okay, third point?
Third point would be... That I'm very generous.
Emotionally?
Also a Leo in everything.
Yeah, I think generosity and stinginess are a character or characteristic.
Yeah.
Like if you're stingy with money, you're probably stingy with your emotions.
Yeah. But like to a point that it's like maybe too much.
What hurts you?
What hurts me?
Really, really like, really hurts you, really bothers you.
Like I really hate lies.
Liars.
I hate lies. Like... It just, any lies, like from the people around me, I just hate lies. It really bothers me.
Have you been cheated on?
Yeah, of course.
How does that?
It's not so much the cheating that is like, for me, when somebody cheats, it's very telling.
It's a big lie.
Yeah, but I'm not, for me, cheating is not like, when somebody cheats, I lose complete respect for them because I think to myself, you don't have the ability to communicate that, like...
You want out.
You want out. Or usually people do it because they are insecure, right? So they have to fill this void and make themselves feel, you know, validated or whatever.
I think it fills different gaps. So if somebody's in a relationship that's lacking emotional chemistry, they look for emotional chemistry. Physical, they look for physical.
Yeah.
If they're, you know, just horny all the time, they'll probably go find, I don't know, 50 other people. You know, it all depends on what void is there.
You're right. And you know? Look, I'm not speaking as like a married person with children, so I don't know also what that would be
You've
like.
You've never been married, right?
No.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you want to, or you just, like, why wouldn't you? Because it's a very probably,
yeah.
Don't quote me, but a natural progression for some people. I don't generalize.
Yeah. Like, for me, the idea of marriage, well, first of all, I was so focused on my music, and anyone that came into my life had to either, like, be on that journey with me or bye-bye kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that was a little bit of a hindrance. And, you know, I was like on the go and I didn't want to be kind of in a situation where I couldn't give that person 100%. But like also the way I see marriage is that I'm like, I'm independent. I would love to have a person on this journey of life with me where we could share and grow together. But if that person's not the right person for me, like,
why are you
I don't care who he is. I'm not going to marry him. You know what I mean? So like, it just really has, there has to be so many things aligned. And I don't even mean like culturally or anything like that. If you don't have common objectives in life, you're never going to get anywhere. And so for me, I feel so abundant in love from my family and friends that I've never felt like I had to rush into marriage. But of course, like, I would love to get married one
day. You seem like a very passionate person as a lover, I would say, because, you know, you're an artist.
Because I'm a Leo.
Leo. You're very expressive, I feel.
Yeah.
Not maybe now, but if you trust somebody, I think you're very expressive. I also think you're very motherly by nature. If you ever decide to have kids, I think you'll be a tough mom,
but
a loving mom. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Thank you. That's such a compliment. Opinion. That's so nice.
What are you afraid of?
I'm most afraid of not realizing my fullest potential. And just like being a basic bitch.
I swear, I think so many things the same.
We're pretty much the same person. Maybe. Like, you're third of August.
I can't sing for shit. So.
I'm sure if you try, you can.
I can choose good music, but
that's already enough.
Okay. So, afraid of not fulfilling your potential.
Potential and, you know, afraid of like losing my family. God forbid, God forbid, God forbid.
Inshallah. God gives them long life and health.
Yeah.
As long as we have a good journey with the people we love. If we end and we had a fulfilling life, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
We don't have much to complain about. Best moment so far in Layla's life? What stands out?
So many things, really. You know, like honestly, I know this sounds crazy, but like, the best moments have been like, the birth of my nieces and nephew.
Oh,
I have
nice.
Two nieces and a nephew from my sisters, and they're like my own kids. But then also things like, more recently, in such a short period of time, I was able to do so much with my music and travel to so many amazing places and achieve so many things. So there's been a lot.
You know, I've had your song on my Spotify before I met you.
Really?
Allah. I forgot the name, but
As
it's
one.
The one, there's a music video on YouTube.
As One. Well, I've got...
La, not As One.
Goddess. Closer.
Na, 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 na.
As One. Yeah? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Thank you.
Worst moment in your life? Like bad, you were broken.
I don't really remember stuff like that.
Nothing broke you?
Yeah.
Because you're a sensitive person.
I am, but like I don't get broken. I'm also very resilient. It's hard for me to really break.
Was it in her research that she does the gold pottery thing?
Yeah.
I love that.
Kintsugi.
So you do break, but then you come back together nicer.
Well, that was the whole thing of my album. It was called Saved, because I saved myself from the shackles, right? Mm. But I believe that in order to be reborn, you need to die a little bit, right? So I died, I broke. And then I put myself back together, but like in the Japanese pottery, the art form of the kintsugi, where they put gold leaf
in the cracks.
In the cracks. And then that gives more value to the object.
I want to buy, like, is it for sale? Like I can buy one?
What?
The one of those?
The kintsugi?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just break something and do it?
No, like, I'm sure some people are great at it.
It's a very valuable piece
of Japanese.
I want
something for the new house. When I read it, I'm like, I want one of those. It has such a nice representation.
Yeah. I don't know where you could buy it from, but like, I'm sure you could. Otherwise, you could do it yourself.
So, your worst moment?
Worst moment... I don't know, like I just don't store.
You were
memories.
Clinically depressed at one point.
Yeah, but that
was. You
wasn't...
were cheated on one point.
Yeah, but like
you
cheated
had
on, so
to
what?
That's go like... against your family and didn't get.
Yeah, I've had a lot of bad moments when
I don't. I don't call them bad. I call them journey, lessons, whatever you want to call it, story.
Bad moments. Yeah, probably like. Also, like, I don't know, my most recent, like, bad moment was, like, losing my grandfather. You know, that was bad.
Mm.
And that was sad. But, like, if you don't have bad moments, you don't have good ones, right? So, like, it's nothing that has, like, completely scarred me to the point where I can't recover.
You think you're a strong woman?
Yeah. But I'm also very fragile. And I'm also very, like, vulnerable and... You know, I have my moments of, like, weakness.
In this interview, how open were you out of 10? Honestly.
I'm always a bit guarded.
I know.
Yeah. So, like, I was pretty open, actually. everyone warned me, like, be careful. Anas has this ability to, like, really, like, you know, break a person down. I'm pretty honest, like, if given the opportunity, but I won't really, like, let everyone see my vulnerable side.
I knew that coming in.
Yeah, but I'm also not, like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm this warrior and I'm so strong and, like, no, it's not the case.
So out of 10?
Because I'm always a bit guarded, because, like, you know, that's my defense mechanism. I'd say, like, probably 7. Why, what do you think?
I thought you'd say 7.
Yeah, but how honest do you think I was? I wasn't dishonest.
No,
but I wasn't.
I don't think you're lying or PR answering. I don't think you're that type.
Yeah.
I just think you're the type that, again, I relate to you because I feel a lot of similarity. It takes me time.
Yeah.
To, like, I'm not volunteering information to the world.
Yeah.
If maybe I feel really comfortable, I'll say it. But I won't lie.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm going to give you this answer. I'll probably give you this.
Yeah.
Yalla, final one. Layla in one word.
Me in one word? Oh my God. I don't know. Probably just passionate. It's hard
I
to say one
I
word.
Knew she was gonna say
really?
Wallah, because you used it earlier when I said, what's your best friend? We'll say the first word you said, passionate.
Yeah.
Thanks.
What would you say? Are we shaking hands?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Yeah. What would I say?
About you.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody wants to know, so this won't be in the... I'll cut it here. But between you and I would say maybe...